Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air. The mayor of Chicago calling for calm tonight. The police body cam just released, and it's difficult. It appears to show a 13-year-old boy turning and raising his hands before a fatal police shooting. You can hear the officer demanding to see his hands, the boy turning. The officer fires a shot. The officer says the 13-year-old had a gun. What was found at the scene? Our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas, standing by tonight. Also this evening, the coronavirus here in the U.S. hotspots now flaring up. New cases in the U.S. climbing more than 30% in a month. In Michigan alone, in some places, they are now setting up outdoor triage centers again, running out of room in hospitals. Also tonight, the CEO of Pfizer now suggesting Americans will need a third shot, a booster, within 12 months of getting vaccinated. Tonight, for the first time, we hear from former police officer Derek Chauvin in the George Floyd case, what he says as he chooses not to testify in his own defense. Not far away, the former police officer Kim Potter, who fired the fatal shot killing 20-year-old Dante Wright, at her first hearing today, the community and Wright's family watching. Tonight, the Biden administration hitting Russia with sweeping new sanctions after that massive cyber attack that went on for months, hacking into federal agencies and private American companies, and for interfering in U.S. elections, expelling 10 Russian diplomats, dozens of entities and individuals hit with sanctions tonight. Russia now warning it will respond. The image from the southern border tonight, a 2-year-old boy dangling, dropped by a smuggler from an 18-foot border wall into the U.S. Overseas tonight, rare images from Buckingham Palace and news tonight on Prince Philip's funeral Saturday morning. And here at home, the Major League home run, the fan, the nachos, and what the player has now done.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Thursday night. And we begin tonight with the mayor of Chicago urging calm after very difficult police body cam video was released late today in a case that had already made national headlines. The fatal police shooting of a 13-year-old boy. The officer had been responding to reports of shots fired, encountering two suspects, chasing one of them, that 13-year-old boy, down an alley. The officer's body camera capturing that encounter, the 13-year-old appearing to stop and turn at one point, appearing to raise his hands. The officer fires the shot. The officer said the suspect had a gun. A still image from that video tonight. Adam Toledo, his hands right there. Authorities say a handgun was later found a few feet away. Today, an emotional Mayor Lori Lightfoot saying it was an unwinnable situation, a boy out in the middle of the night with an adult, but saying the city, quote, failed the boy. The mayor calling for calm tonight, and ABC's Chief Justice correspondent Pierre Thomas leading us off with the images. And again, we warn the video is difficult to watch.
You're about to witness a tragedy unfold in the blink of an eye. Just after 2 a.m. on March 29th, Chicago police respond to reports of shots fired.
Chicago Emergency, Travis.
Hi, I just heard gunshots.
But how many shots did you hear?
A lot, more than five.
An officer arrives at the scene, body camera rolling. He chases one of the two suspects, racing through an alley in hot pursuit, shoving a bystander aside during the chase. Then suddenly, a confrontation. The officer yelling to see the suspect's hands, the suspect stopping and turning quickly. The officer fires a shot.
Show me your ass. Stop it. Stop it.
The officer begins CPR, but it's too late. When the confusion is over, we learn the suspect is only 13 years old. His name is Adam Toledo. The officer has said the boy had a gun in his hand. You can see a handgun a few feet away from the young man along this fence. But at the critical moment in some of the videos when the shot was fired, it's hard to see any gun in the boy's hands. An investigation's ongoing to determine what happened. Today, Chicago's mayor said it's all too much. A boy out in the city in the wee hours with an adult. A handgun in the mix. An unwinnable situation with an almost predictable, terrible ending.
In the middle of the night, this child was in contact with an adult who had a gun. There are a number of forces that met up at 2:30 in the morning on March 29th in an alley. And simply put, we failed Adam.
And Pierre Thomas with us tonight, live from Washington. And what more have you learned, Pierre?
David, the officer has been placed on administrative leave pending the investigation. As for family members, their attorneys released a joint statement with the mayor saying the release of the video is a first step toward healing. And David, they're calling for peace.
Our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas, leading us off tonight. Pierre, thank you. We turn next here to the coronavirus in the U.S. tonight. The CEO of Pfizer now suggesting Americans will need a third shot, a booster shot, within a year of being vaccinated. That suggestion comes amid worrisome new numbers tonight. Hotspots flaring up as the variant spread. New cases actually climbing more than 30% in a month. In Michigan alone, hospitals are overwhelmed, some setting out those outdoor triage centers like we saw in the beginning of this pandemic. And on Capitol Hill today, Dr. Anthony Fauci, in a heated exchange, is asked when Americans will get their freedom back. Dr. Fauci answering, this is not about liberty. It's about 560,000 Americans lost. Here's Whit Johnson.
Tonight, a growing emergency in Michigan. Beaumont Health System overwhelmed with 800 COVID patients at eight hospitals, now setting up outdoor triage centers to handle the surge.
Where we currently are in our third surge, which is just like a runaway train right now.
24 of Michigan's hospitals are at 90% capacity.
The healthcare workers are tired. They're frustrated. They're being told to do more with less.
Across the country, COVID cases climbing 31% in the last month. And today, frustration boiling over on Capitol Hill. Dr. Fauci facing off with Congressman Jim Jordan.
When do Americans get their freedom back?
When we get the level of infection in this country low enough that it is not a really high threat.
What is low enough? Give me a number.
Dr. Fauci then saying this isn't about liberties. It's about the hundreds of thousands of lives lost.
Right now, we have about 60,000 infections a day, which is a very large risk for a surge. We're not talking about liberties. We're talking about a pandemic that has killed 560,000 Americans.
The CEO of Pfizer saying Americans will likely need a booster, a third shot within 12 months of getting fully vaccinated, and that it's possible they will need to get vaccinated every year. This after a CDC advisory panel extended a pause on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine to investigate rare blood clots in six women. The fallout swift. Some vaccination sites already seeing a dip in demand.
It's pretty unfortunate because there's so much fear about the vaccines already.
Many of the 7,000 locations that were only offering Johnson & Johnson now scrambling to make other vaccines available. But the extended pause getting pushback from some health experts worried about vaccine confidence.
If it comes to be that there are people who don't get a vaccine because they were only going to get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, or don't get vaccine, COVID vaccines in general, then we've done harm. Then we haven't exercised caution. Then in the name of caution, we've actually put people in a riskier situation.
The picture across the nation, Whit, you reported there, Pfizer's CEO predicting Americans might need a third shot within a year, a booster, after being vaccinated. And tonight, I know there's also new data just out on how many people have actually been infected with the virus after being vaccinated. And the number is very low, which is encouraging.
David, they're called breakthrough infections, and these new numbers we're getting from the CDC show that of the 66 million Americans who've now been fully vaccinated, there were only 5,800 COVID cases. That represents just 0.008% of the fully vaccinated population, more evidence of how effective these vaccines have been. David?
All right, Whit Johnson on the coronavirus tonight. Whit, thank you. To the other news tonight and the trial of former officer Derek Chauvin in the George Floyd case. Chauvin speaking for the first time in court today as he invoked his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination, telling the judge he will not take the stand. ABC's Alex Perez from Minneapolis.
Former police officer Derek Chauvin today for the first time speaking in court, declaring he won't testify in his own defense, telling his lawyer and the judge he was invoking his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination.
I have repeatedly advised you that this is your decision and your decision alone, right?
Correct.
We have gone back and forth on the matter would be kind of an understatement, right?
Yes, it is.
Have you made a decision today whether you intend to testify or whether you intend to invoke your Fifth Amendment privilege?
I will invoke my Fifth Amendment privilege today.
Chauvin's lawyer then resting his case, but the prosecution wasn't finished. They called a rebuttal witness to challenge the new defense theory that George Floyd's death may have been caused in part by inhaling carbon monoxide from the tailpipe of the police vehicle.
It's simply wrong.
Dr. Martin Tobin, an expert on lung function and breathing, who previously testified for the prosecution, returning to the stand today. He told the jury carbon monoxide levels in Floyd's blood were normal.
And it was at most 2%.
At most 2%.
Normal.
Which is normal.
And David, the jury will be sequestered during deliberations, which could begin as early as Monday afternoon. The judge today telling jurors they should pack a bag, plan for long, but hope for short. David?
All right, Alex Perez again tonight. Thank you, Alex. And not far from that Minneapolis trial, the hearing in the other case this nation is watching for the former police officer now charged in the shooting death of 20-year-old Dante Wright during a traffic stop in Brooklyn Center. Kim Potter facing a charge of second-degree manslaughter, appearing via Zoom today. Dante Wright's parents watching the hearing. And here's ABC's Stephanie Ramos tonight.
Tonight, the parents of Dante Wright watching as the former police officer who allegedly mistook her gun for a taser, killing their son, appeared for her first court hearing.
It's very hurtful to see she's just sitting there.
The news media not allowed to record the feed. Kim Potter now facing a single charge of second-degree manslaughter, only responding yes to the judge's questions over Zoom. The Wright family describing their anguish.
You just left the Zoom hearing for Officer Potter. Mm-hmm. How did that feel to see her?
It hurt really bad. I have hatred, anger, sadness. There's so many emotions.
Potter, who resigned this week after 26 years on the Brooklyn Center force, released from jail overnight after posting a $100,000 bond. The criminal complaint alleging that while trying to arrest Wright for an outstanding warrant after a traffic stop over the weekend, Potter fired her gun instead of deploying her taser, hitting the 20-year-old once. This isn't the first time a police officer has allegedly mistaken their gun for a taser. Since 2001, there have been at least 13 similar instances. Only two convictions resulted from those cases.
The challenge for prosecutors here is going to be proving that she consciously took chances of causing death or great bodily harm. Consciously. Doesn't mean intended to do it.
My brother and my sister need this woman to be convicted. If we can have life, we want life. We gotta go life without him.
Former Officer Potter is out on bond, but is scheduled to be back in court next month. David.
Stephanie Ramos with us from Minneapolis again tonight. Thank you, Stephanie. Now to the U.S. and Russia. And tonight, the Biden administration hitting Russia with sweeping sanctions after that massive cyber attack that went on for months, hacking into federal agencies and private American companies, and for interfering in U.S. elections. Tonight, Russia says it will respond. And here's our senior White House correspondent, Mary Bruce.
President Biden today announcing sweeping actions to punish Russia for interfering in the 2020 presidential election and hacking into multiple U.S. government agencies and major private companies like Microsoft.
We'll always stand in defense of our country, our institutions, our people, and our allies.
The U.S. imposing sanctions on dozens of entities and individuals and expelling 10 Russian diplomats from Washington. Biden says the response is in kind, but is warning he could do more.
We could have gone further, but I chose not to do so. I chose to be proportionate. We want a stable, predictable relationship.
The U.S. is also ratcheting up the pressure on Russia's continued occupation of Crimea, and reports Russia offered bounties to militants in Afghanistan to kill American troops. Responding today, the Russian Foreign Ministry called the U.S.'s actions unacceptable and is promising a series of retaliatory measures will follow in the near future.
All right, so let's bring in Mary tonight. And Mary, President Biden sanctioning Russia, but at the same time in recent days inviting Vladimir Putin to meet face-to-face in the coming months, trying to forge some sort of a working relationship here.
Well, David, the president is walking a bit of a fine line here. He's trying to punish Russia while also trying to move forward in what he described today as a, quote, candid and respectful conversation. Biden this week invited Putin to meet face-to-face this summer to discuss areas where they can work together going forward. Tonight, that meeting is still under discussion. David.
We'll see where this goes. Mary Bruce, thank you. Back here at home tonight into the southern border and to the new and troubling image this evening, a 2-year-old boy dropped by a smuggler from an 18-foot border wall into the U.S. Tonight here, the story behind that boy and the thousands of children now here. Here's our chief national correspondent, Matt Gutman.
Tonight, that jarring video, a 2-year-old dangling over that 18-foot border wall and then dropped by a smuggler into the arms of an adult. Border Patrol releasing the video, noting the child was not injured, but could easily have been killed. It's the latest in a spate of videos showing children either dropped over that border wall or abandoned by smugglers in remote areas of the 2,000-mile U.S.-Mexico border. The mask of terror worn by this 10-year-old Nicaraguan boy in a video that has now gone viral, describing the crisis of so many. The boy and his mother had crossed into the U.S. last month, but they were deported, his uncle telling Univision. That's when the uncle says both the boy and his mother were kidnapped and held for ransom. The uncle telling us he was able to come up with only half of the $10,000 ransom. The boy was released, but not his mother. Tonight, we learn she, too, is out, telling Univision she has spoken with her son and that her kidnappers told her it was no longer convenient for her to stay with them, and they left her in an unfamiliar place.
David, I just spoke with the family attorney who says that that boy's mother could be days away from crossing into the U.S. to have her asylum claim heard, and that boy could be released into the custody of his uncle as early as tomorrow. David.
All right. Matt Gubman, who continues to follow the situation on the southern border for us. Matt, thank you. In the meantime, next tonight to efforts to expand the Supreme Court by some Democrats. But tonight, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi saying she won't support it, saying she won't bring that bill to expand the court to the floor, saying the president's infrastructure bill is her priority. Earlier today, some congressional Democrats introduced a bill to add four more justices to the high court, accusing Republicans of, quote, stealing seats to build a conservative majority. To the economy, and new numbers tonight that show America on the mend. Just 576,000 people filed for unemployment benefits last week. That's a new low in this pandemic. 16.9 million are still collecting benefits. Retail sales up nearly 10% last month. Some people spending those stimulus checks and going out more since being vaccinated. Some encouraging signs. When we come back, we're tracking severe weather tonight. The potential for a spring snowstorm, up to 5 to 10 inches of snow in parts of the Northeast. And the storms across the South at a moment.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are tracking a spring snowstorm across parts of the country tonight. A winter weather alert's in effect for the Northeast. 5 to 10 inches of snow expected for parts of upstate New York, right up into Maine tomorrow. In the South tonight, dangerous thunderstorms, strong winds, and flash flood watches from Texas to Mississippi to Alabama right into the weekend. Tonight, multiple earthquakes have been reported across Texas. The strongest quake, a magnitude 4.3, hitting outside Amarillo last night. It was felt up to 50 miles away. Two smaller quakes also reported, one along the Louisiana border overnight, another near the New Mexico state line. News tonight on Prince Philip's funeral Saturday morning. Queen Elizabeth will be wearing a mask for the entire service. Princes William and Harry won't be walking with each other in the procession. And this image from the palace tonight, the Queen and Philip surrounded by seven of their great-grandchildren. I hope you'll join me Saturday morning. Deborah Roberts, James Longman, our team here and in London, 9:30 a.m. Saturday morning. News on former Vice President Mike Pence tonight, who had a pacemaker implanted during a procedure in Falls Church, Virginia, expected to return to normal activity in the next few days. Finally tonight here, the home run, the nachos, and the fan still smiling.
It was the bottom of the third, the L.A. Dodgers versus the Colorado Rockies, and Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner.
Left center field, way back, and gone!
A home run right into the nachos. The fans smiling.
I think it's nacho cheese.
And of course, the replay.
Oh, yeah.
The ball going right through his hands, right into his food. The cheese everywhere, but that Dodgers fan holding up the ball. Afterward, that third baseman, Justin Turner.
I felt bad. I'm sure it was not a $2 plate of nachos, so I wanted to replace him with the guy.
And with us tonight,
hello, David.
That fan, Brando Lopez, still holding that ball.
I want to take the time to thank JT because as soon as it happened, he had somebody come over and replace my nachos.
And by the way, Brando telling us that moment, now seen by millions, has actually led to phone calls from family and friends he's missed during this pandemic.
I've been getting tons of support and messages from friends, family, people that I haven't talked to in a really long time. So it's nice to hear from those people.
Smiling through it all, sent over some new nachos, and you hear from family and friends too. So all's well that ends well.